Charter Township Board of Trustees. We'll call the meeting to order and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome everybody. We'll go ahead and start with roll call. Ann?
Lyle?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Forte?
Here.
Walters?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
Merrill?
Here.
Friend?
Here. Okay, presentation of the agenda. You have the agenda in front of us, which the consent calendar, the additional things. You have three sets of minutes, October 2nd, October 9th, and October 23rd. The 2nd and the 23rd are special meetings, with the 9th a regular meeting. We have approvals under H of the English Woods water tank repainting, the US 31 North sidewalk construction, Station 9 lease with Grand Traverse Metro, and the furnace purchase. The first three would have been previously discussed at different meetings, and the fourth was an emergency purchase. Under the agenda, we have a public hearing on a number of resolutions tonight. That would be the 2018 budget and the wages for the Board of Trustees. We also have a Park Commission appointment recommendation from the Parks Commission. A Mount Holiday 2% grant request, Easttown PUD extension, Meadowlands and Photo Dawn, which is a tax abatement, accessory buildings, and charter franchise agreement. There are two things that I did send you information after the original board packets went out, and those were on, I sent you additional information on their charter franchise, which is agenda item number 7, and I also sent you information on a PAR plan grant application. So I'd like to add that as agenda item number 8, if that works for everybody. Does anybody have any changes they'd like to make to that agenda? Okay, we will move forward with that. And seeing that agenda, is there any conflict of interest that any board member would like to declare? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to public comment. This is the time for the public to comment on any item they would like to address the board about regarding. I will say during item number 1, the public hearing on the 2018 township budget and the wages for the Board of Trustees, there will be an opportunity during that agenda item to address the budget. So now would be the time to address the board on anything other than that item. You're welcome to come up to the podium and state your name and address and address the board. Good evening.
Good evening. Paul Gonzalez, 709 Munson Avenue. Just a question, actually. Have you set a date yet for the short-term rental deliberations, the next ones?
We have not. We sent out a doodle, which kind of is a calendar organizer, to the board members to see what dates they were available. Mm-hmm. We have a couple that we're looking at. I think it is going to be in January, mm-hmm. correct? None of the December dates worked out, so it will be in January. And as soon as we get a date, we'll post that on the website. The agenda itself will be pretty short because it is just one topic that we're looking at, so we can put that agenda out pretty quickly.
And how fast before the meeting, or how much in advance do you post that on the website?
I would assume that we'll probably have that posted by mid-December.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Typically it's 5 to 7 days, but because it is a workshop, and we're just working to make sure that we can get full attendance of our board members. Once we have commitment from them, then we will make an agenda and post that.
It is public.
It is. Absolutely. Okay. Every meeting of the Board of Trustees is.
All right. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing no further public comment, we'll move on to correspondence. In your packet, you'll notice that you had a fire prevention ordinance from Brian Belcher with Grand Traverse Metro. That will be before you in December, but it's a lengthy document and a couple changes, so I wanted to get it to you as soon as possible. Also, under reports, I wanted to mention Tracy supplied you with the delinquent special assessments and sewer and water usage, correct? Did you want to add anything on that?
No, it's the same thing that we get every year. We get a list from DPW of those properties that are delinquent 9 months prior to September 1st. So it's like December 31st of the previous year. So, and then the special assessments are just those that hadn't paid their current year installment before November 1st.
Okay. All right, thank you. Looking at the reports, our engineer was getting ready for deer hunting season. We didn't have anything pressing on the agenda he needed to be here for, so I told him don't worry about it, and he provided an update on the water tank and the sidewalks for you, and that was at your table. We do have a Grand Traverse County Road Commission board member here. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. How's everybody tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Mark McKellar with the Grand Traverse County Road Commission. Just two things that I wanted to mention. One is we are at the baby step process of an east-west crossing. I'm sure you've heard different things and rumblings. And I want to put it in perspective. This is a very long-term project. I anticipate it to be done before I retire, but not any time sooner than that. What I expect is that right now we're going through where we've selected an engineering, or I guess a consulting group, engineering group, to look at all viable options. We have to go through the due diligence of looking at all viable options. That may mean increasing our presence on South Airport, down at Beitner, different bridge, bigger roads. It might mean a brand new crossing. We don't know. But if people think that it means automatically there's going to be a big bridge out there, it's not the case. It's going to take a long time to get through all that. Our community went through a real difficult time the first couple times, and this group is not interested in putting everybody through that again. So the other is we at the Road Commission are fairly progressive with the leadership of Jim Cook. We've done a lot of things. We put together an asset management plan for our asphalt roads a number of years ago. We were not the first in the state, but we did a pretty bang-up job on mastering that. We also have, believe it or not, an asset management plan in place for our gravel road system, and which is very difficult to do. But we are the first in the state to put together an asset management plan for our fleet, all our equipment. Everybody's got, you know, tables and depreciations and schedules, but this is the first one that we know of, and we've been asking. We've been, you know, talking to people about it to try to get some ideas, and there hasn't been any. So what's going on, the residents of our county should be aware of that. In first time in the state of Michigan, a road commission is actually taking a look at what we own, what we have on the books, and how we're going to manage our fleet, everything from our small equipment all the way up to our heavy equipment. I'm hoping that it is going to do two things. One, it's going to save the taxpayers a tremendous amount of money. And two, it's going to put the spotlight back in on our county and our road commission that we're doing the right thing with the taxpayers' money. It's set kind of like a best practices. So we've been working on that. One of the things we want to do, which nobody else has done either, is we actually want to put an asset management plan together for our culvert system under the roads. You go talk to most county road commissions, they don't even know where the culverts are until they blow out this flood like we had here about a month ago. So that came to light a little time ago when we started having some serious problems on Cass Road, and we started some drain districts up in the Peninsula Township area. There are others in the area, and we're going to be working with our drain commissioner, but we're going to identify where they're all at. Everything from this big to, you know, the drain that we call a bridge on South Airport Road. So, anyways, that's it. If you have any questions.
Any questions for Mark?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being here after such a tough weekend, you know.
Yes. I almost didn't wear this because I knew you were going to give me some business. Maybe I'll wear it if you will.
Okay. I don't see any other members here for reports, so we'll move on to the consent calendar. Ann?
The purpose of the consent calendar is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with in by one board motion without discussion. Any member of the board, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent calendar be removed from there and placed elsewhere on the agenda for full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. If any item is not removed from the consent calendar, the action noted in parentheses on the agenda is approved by a single board action adopting the consent calendar. We have the minutes from October 9th, regular meeting minutes, and October 2nd and 23rd, budget workshop meeting minutes. From the general fund, check numbers 13392 through 13463, with a voided check 13408 in the amount of $131,691.29. Emergency fund, check numbers 3689 through 3704 in the amount of $8,324.54. The receiving fund, check numbers 2503 through 2514, the amount of $603,001.68, and from the escrow fund, check numbers 1505 through 1512 for $15,830.55. For payroll, October 1st through October 14th, check numbers 6077 through 6084 totaled $33,117.39. And for the payroll of October 15th through the 28th, check numbers 6085 through 6086 totaled $35,231.97. Total payroll came to $68,349.36. Total amount paid, $827,197.42. Item G is possible proposed budget adjustments. I don't think there are any. And item H1, English Woods Water Tank Change Order and Payment Certificate Number 2. H number 2, US 31 North Sidewalk Construction. H3, Station 9 Lease. H4, Furnace Replacement.
Okay, thank you, Ann. Would any member of the board like any item removed from the consent agenda? Okay, would any member of the public like anything removed from the consent agenda? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Is there a motion on the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay, is there support?
Support.
Okay. Motion has been made and supported to approve the consent agenda for Monday, November 13th, 2017. Ann, would you take a roll call vote on that, please?
Bartlett?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Corte?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, we will move on to agenda item number one, and that is the public hearing for the 2018 budget. That is resolution 2017-19, and also public hearing for the wages for the trustee, which is resolution 2017-20, the wages for the treasurer, resolution 2017-21, the clerk, resolution 2017-22, and the supervisor, resolution 2017-23. Is there any member of the public who would like to address the board regarding, I'll open the public hearing at, what is it, about 6:44. Any member of the public who'd like to address the board during the public hearing on the 2018 budget or wages? Okay, we will take that back to the board then, hearing no public comment during that public hearing at 6:44 or 6:45.
We'll say 6:45.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing and bring the discussion back to the board. It's the board's pleasure if you want to, you know, which you want to discuss. First, obviously, we have the 2018 General Appropriations Act listed first, which is Resolution 2017-19. 2015-19. I guess real quickly go over kind of the information that was presented to you in the packet for the public's knowledge that we had three budget meetings. We met on September 7th, and we covered the emergency services budget, October 2nd for the general fund budget, and October 23rd for water and sewer budgets. All of that information is available on the website. We did discuss two items in addition to the general fund budget that were requested to be changed in conjunction if we were to have some of those changes. The first one is the zoning administrator's job description, and the second is the personnel policy. Those have been drafted and were in your packet. For the attachments that were in here is the public hearing notice, the General Appropriations Act, which is the resolution, the BSNA budget reports by fund, the salary resolutions, and then those two amendments that I mentioned. So bring it back to the board. Any discussion, questions, or motions? Okay. 2018 looks like a quiet year.
Make the motion to approve Resolution 2017-19.
I'll support.
Okay, motion has been made to approve Resolution 2017-19, that is the General Appropriations Act, for the 2018 budget. That does include the right page here for a second. That does include the general fund, metro services, police fund, ambulance services, public access fund, sewer and water receiving funds. So with that, we'll do a roll call vote. Ann?
Bartlett?
Yes.
Corte?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Brent?
Yes. Okay, that motion is passed, and we'll move on to the resolution for the wages for the 2018 for the Board of Trustees. The first one on the list is the Resolution 2017-20 for the 2018 wages for the trustee. Let me find that. Let's see. That is set at $6,331, and I believe on all of the salaries, elected officials and employees, we did a, was it 3% this
with
year?
The exception of the one that was noted that we've
correct
just taken care of.
Correct. Okay. So is there a motion for 2017-20?
I make a motion to approve the trustee 2017-20-2018 annual wages at $6,331 effective January 1, 2018.
Okay, is there support for that?
I support.
Okay, that motion has been made for Resolution 2017-20, establishment of the salary for trustees for 2018. Ann, we'll do a roll call vote.
Corte?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, the third item on our agenda under number one is the Resolution 2017-21, the 2018 wages for the treasurer. That is set at $55,176, again, a 3% increase from the previous year. Is there a motion for this resolution?
I'll make that motion to approve Resolution 2017-21 for the 2018 salary of the treasurer.
Support.
Okay, the motion has been made and supported for Resolution 2017-21, the 2018 wages for the treasurer. And we'll do a roll call vote.
Walters?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Corte?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to Resolution 2017-22, the 2018 wages for the clerk. Those are set at $55,176, which is a 3% increase from the previous year. Is there a motion for that resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 2017-22 for the 2018 salary of the township clerk.
Okay, is there support? Okay. Motion has been made and supported for Resolution 2017-22, the 2018 wages for the clerk. And roll call vote.
Walters?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Cortaid?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, the last item on the agenda number one is the resolution 2017-23, the 2018 wages for the supervisor. They are set at $58,186, which is a 3% increase over the previous year. Is there discussion on that or a motion for that resolution?
I make a motion to approve resolution 2017-23. For the supervisor's salary.
Support.
Okay, motion has been made and supported for resolution 2017-23, the 2018 wages for the supervisor. All those, I'm sorry, we'll do a roll call vote, Ann.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Cortaid?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, we will. Let's see. Oh, we also had the additional. Do we want to, at this point, amend the zoning administrator's job description and the personnel policy? That was also on the cover page, you'll notice, and it was in the packet.
Yes.
Okay, is there a motion regarding those?
I make a motion to approve the change to the Deputy Zoning Administrator's job description, which changes the responsibilities and regarding the Planning Commission and Zoning Board of Appeals minutes to shall draft Planning Commission and Zoning Board of Appeals minutes and amend such minutes upon direction of the applicable commission. I'd also like to take that from deputy to just zoning administrator.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. That's what it was in the files.
Yeah. It should be corrected to zoning administrator.
What's that?
It should be corrected to zoning administrator.
Okay.
I'm just not even listening to any of the other stuff. We're here to do business.
Just ask my predecessor what the heck he did. No. Okay, so there is a motion to approve that change in job description. Okay, thank you very much. And support for that. Any further discussion or questions? Okay. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed by no? Okay, that motion passes. Is there action? Would the board like to take action on the adjustment to the personnel policy with vacation?
I would move to approve the changes to the personnel policy, section 10.2, entitled vacation, to include adjustments to service time for an employee that may be made to accommodate a new hire, which is mid-career transition, in recognition of years prior experience, college degree, industry certifications, and job market. Such adjustments will be approved by the Township Board of Trustees.
Okay, there's a motion made. Is there support for that motion?
I support that, but I would like to add some conversation.
Sure. Motion has been made and supported to amend the personnel policy section 10.2, entitled vacation, has been supported. Further discussion?
Thank you.
Sure.
I have no problem with making this change, although the way it is changed, I don't see how this position would acquire additional weeks off. It changes it to 3 weeks, but how is it going to move forward? Because all other staff members are eligible up to 4 weeks of paid vacation based on their time. How does this one get to accumulate more?
So you adjust the accumulation rate.
Okay. Is that on this document, Beth? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's not specifically.
I just want to make sure that the way we move forward,
right,
is that the intention is not that it is only 3 weeks, that there is the ability as time goes on that more weeks can be accumulated.
Right. So basically what you would do then is accommodate the service time adjustment of service time for an employee to accommodate for that. So you'll adjust the service time up so that their vacation accrual will be at a service time more than what their actual time is at the township. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I just want to make sure that this document reflects that correctly.
The document, you meaning the 10.2?
That we're approving tonight.
The 10.2?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think it does, because look in the on the cover page, the second to the last paragraph, it says to include adjustments to service time for employee. So basically, for the employee and what you're doing that for, you're adjusting the service. And if you look at the vacation in 10.2, the service time lists their service time and then their accrual factor. So okay. I think we should be fine with that.
I didn't want it to be overlooked.
Right,
so
right.
I appreciate
no,
that.
I know when I was doing that, I was like, okay, trying to make the two motions consistent with
right.
one another so that one, you know, let us do the other.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
Okay. That motion was made and supported. Again, that motion was to approve the changes to the personnel policy section 10.2 entitled vacation, which is outlined on your cover page. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no? Okay. Part of the 2018 budget included a request to adjust the planner's vacation to 3 weeks of vacation beginning per year beginning in 2018 in recognition of the amended policy. Is there a motion to approve that? Actually, since I suggested it, I will bring that motion to the table. So I would move to approve the request to adjust the planner's vacation to 3 weeks of vacation per year beginning in 2018 in recognition of the amended personnel policy section 10.2. Is there support for that motion?
I'll support that.
Okay, that motion has been made and supported. Is there further discussion?
I suggest that we add to this motion that we are making it so that the planner's service time is equal to 6 to 10 years, so that, or 6 years, so that at 10 years he goes up the next level instead of it being stuck at
mm-hmm.
okay.
this
level.
Okay, sounds good. So I will amend the motion to be moved to approve request to adjust planner's vacation time from two to 3 weeks of vacation per year beginning in 2018 in recognition of the amended personnel policy section 10.2 and adjust his level of service time to 6 years. Okay. Sue, you were the support on that.
I would allow that amendment.
Okay.
Still support it.
All right. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 All those not in favor by no. Okay, that motion passes. For the public's knowledge, what we've just done is approved our 2018 general fund budget. We've approved our emergency services budget, which is our CPO, our fire, and our ambulance, and we have approved our water and sewer budgets. We have, as you have heard, approved the salaries for the Board of Trustees. Within the 2018 budget that we approved, that is the salaries of the employees. And then the verbiage that you heard about the two amendments to the personnel policy had to do with the job description of the zoning administrator previously. That zoning administrator, our zoning administrator, did not take minutes, and they will begin taking minutes. So there was an adjustment for that. And then the personnel policy vacation, we were aware of mid-career hire who was basically had, you know, 20 years of experience and was at 2 weeks of vacation. So we were amending our vacation policy in recognition of that type of a mid-career transfer, in recognition of, again, their experience, college degrees, industry certifications, and job market as approved by the board. So just kind of a recap for all of you who, you know, were getting caught between the motions there. So, all right. We will move on to agenda item number 2. And that is the Park Commission appointment recommendation. Let me get where I'm at in the packet here.
Uh,
Okay, I don't think that we have anybody here tonight from the Park Commission, so I'll just kind of fly with this one. I was not at the meeting, but I did watch it on video. So it's kind of like not being a doctor and playing one on TV, so we'll go with it. But you'll remember that Butch Strait's resignation from the Park Commission was effective October 1st, and that we had some applicants. We think we had it 4 at one time, and 2 ended up withdrawing at different times before the interviews for various reasons. So they interviewed 2. And you can see the minutes on your cover sheet from their board meeting. In your packet is the commission vacancy notice that was on the website. You've also been forwarded the letters of interest that were sent by the applicants. There's no specific budget implications. I mean, it's replacing one board member with another. And so their recommendation was to the Board of Trustees was to appoint Matt Cross to the Park Commission to fulfill the term affected through November 20th of 2018. Sue, do you want to mention again what someone who's appointed will have to
certainly
do?
Certainly. By law, the appointment only covers the period until the next general election, which would be the election that would be held August 2018 as a primary election, because this is a partisan position, and then in November of 2018. So whoever is appointed, we have another appointed park commissioner that will also have to follow these same guidelines. They will have to pick up a packet to run as a candidate no later than April 24 at 4 p.m. from my office. They will need to go around and solicit signatures for their ability to get put on the ballot. They will run a campaign. They will be voted on at the August primary election, and then they would be voted on again. Whomever, anyone can be, not just those that are appointed, but anyone can apply for this vacancy at that point. Whomever the 2 elected candidates are at the November election would take office on November 20, 2018 to fill out the remainder of the term, which would be through November 20 of 2020.
Yeah. Okay, and Matt Cross did email me about 5 o'clock and said that he was tied up with work this evening, and so he was planning on being here but wouldn't be available for the meeting tonight. So, is there any board discussion on the appointment? As I said, I wasn't at the meeting, but I can try and field any questions. Mm-hmm. I know that they were very happy with both applicants.
I don't think they could go wrong with either, or any of the 4 that actually submitted. And we, as a board, chose to ask the Park Commission to take this on and make their decision, and I respect their decision. So I will make a motion that we fill the appointment. I don't know how you've got it worded. A Park Commission recommendation and appointment cross to the Park Commission to fulfill the term effective immediately through November 2018.
Support.
Okay, that motion has been made and supported to appoint Matt Cross to the Park Commission. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay, that appointment goes through. So they have a meeting next Monday, so we'll email.
He'll have to be sworn in and fill out his paperwork.
Now you're out on Thursday, so Wednesday he'll have to come in? Or Monday?
Or Monday before
or
the
Monday.
Meeting.
Okay.
Yep, I thought if he was here, maybe I could sneak out and get him to take that, but he's not here tonight. So.
We know you like to swear at people, so.
It's my job. It is my job.
Okay. So we'll move on to agenda item number 3. That is the Mount Holiday 2% grant request. So do we have somebody here with Mount Holiday this evening? Thank you. Come on up, gentlemen. So John Lynch contacted us before the last Park Commission meeting and talked about the improvement that Mount Holiday was seeking from the 2% tribal grant. I was in touch with John and then with Chris Kramer, who facilitates it through the Grand Traverse County, got all the information to John and said, you know, how would you like to proceed, having the county submitted or the township? And he preferred that the township do that. I'm assuming because Mount Holiday feels pretty close close in relation to the township. And we were able to get the information to the Parks Commission, which passed the resolution that's in your packet, the Parks Commission resolution, which is slightly different than ours. Their resolution supports it and agrees to submit the application on their behalf. Ours supports the Park Commission's action of doing that. But let me have you fellows introduce yourself, and then if you could speak a little bit more about the specific improvement, that would be great.
I'm Dave Ferris, and I've been on the board at Holiday for quite a while and skied there for even longer. And this is to help us to get a new groomer, which is of extreme importance for us to provide a, you know, a pleasant experience and a safe experience for all the people that take part in the activity at Mount Holiday.
My name is Riley Ramoy. I'm a one-year board member. Currently hold the position of COO on the executive team. And like Dave said, you know, it's this is a big purchase for us that's outside of our realm from our general revenue. So we need that additional support to provide that product, because that's what we sell. That's what generates our revenue those 3 months out of the year is the snow product out on the hill. So it's pivotal to our general operations and our sustainability throughout the year. So.
Okay.
I would also like to add that the shopping experience for this thing has been substantial. So, and if you are coupon cutters, or you don't stand in, this has been an amazing thing to find, and it's been a maybe divine intervention that has brought this opportunity to us. So.
Okay. Very good. There, I have talked with Peter Wendling very briefly on this and made sure that I didn't want any snafus to come up late in the process for you guys, because we are past the deadline for them to go to the county. So I wanted to make sure we were just fine in having it processed through East Bay Township and through the Park Commission, and that we were good upon a successful grant of having the dollars funneled through East Bay Township and then handed off to Mount Holiday. And he confirmed that that is the case. So the resolution in front of you again for the Board of Trustees just goes over a little bit of what we talked about, their need for a new snow groomer, our support of them, and then basically resolves that we fully support their application for the 2%, and that we'll work concurrently with the Park Commission and Mount Holiday Ski and Recreation area to facilitate any grant award from the 2% for the purchase of the new snow groomer.
May I also point out one other thing too, that this is a continuation grant program, so it's a biannual, so every 6 months we have to go through the same process.
Okay.
So we'll come back in front of you probably in April to start the whole process again, so we can get our paperwork in for June, for the June submission.
Okay.
And it's going to take multiple submissions for us to be able to fully fund our entire project, just at the sheer level that the 2% grant money flows from the tribe. So I just wanted to make that clear to you guys that you'll be seeing this again.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any questions for the gentleman from Mount Holiday? Go ahead.
I don't have questions for it. Well, I have some issues with the application form.
Okay, go ahead.
We did a 2% grant application in 2015, and the information that is in this application form contradicts that information, and I need to make sure that we're not contradicting ourselves.
Well, they did change their application this year, so this is the first new one. Is it something that would be changed, or go ahead?
For example, I think in number two, the application needs to be Beth Friend and not Justin Friend.
Actually, that's what I checked with Peter Wendling. It's fine to go through the Parks Commission.
Okay.
Yep.
And then on number five, the total amount of GTB members, we looked in our previous application, we looked at the 2010 census. and it's on the bottom. The 2010 census identified 104 East Bay Township residents as Native American, and here we have over 300. I concur that that's probably over 300 at the Ski Hill, but as the township, we're at 104, and we need to, even if we just put a statement in there that it's 104 East Bay Township residents and 300 in the total community, I don't have a problem with that, but I think we need to make sure that the 104 is representative as is the same as this particular grant application. And then on number 10, has applicant received prior awards through the 2% funding allocation, and there's a June 2003 for $20,000. I'm not sure what that's for, but we also need to include the August 2015 of $10,000 that we received from the 2% grant.
For the
playground.
I think that this is specific for Mount Holiday, though.
But it says applicant, and we're the applicant.
But I went through this with Chris Kramer, and she was, again, they have just changed these forms. So previously, they would have had, say, for example, Ann Pettyjohn's name on it. And now it has the township's. Because we went through this with number two, I was concerned that the contact person, if it should be the Mount Holiday Executive Director, I'm doing them similar to what, I'm doing them parallel to how the Grand Traverse County is doing them. And I can double check with that with her, but I went through all of it with Grand Traverse County.
In my organ where I work, we submit several different grants for 2% too, and each department submits a separate one. They don't encompass everyone's grant in their report.
Okay, I just don't want,
you don't want to throw
a denial for something so little. We can always put, can't we put a star and say in 2015 the East Bay Township Parks got $10,000 for playground equipment?
Well, and that's why I went through everything with Chris, and that's why I called Peter. I mean, I don't typically call Peter for a grant request, but I wanted to make sure everything was kosher with these. And the reason that we did run it through the Parks Commission was when I had talked with Chris, she had mentioned that they have sometimes good results with parks and recreation, and so I thought coming from the parks, plus when those funds come in, they'll be coming out showing out of the park department, showing a designation of spending on money on recreation.
I don't have any problem with the grant application process or asking
right.
for the money. I just don't want it to be a hiccup that says, hey, because you didn't put this on here, you're out.
Sure.
That's my concern.
Just double check.
Yep, I can do that. I'll double check with all of that and make sure that it's, and I have to, once we pass this resolution and the Park Commission has passed their resolution, I have to go through and put together that packet of information to get to Mount Holiday, and so we'll be submitting that and make sure that we have everything buttoned up and in line. But those are good things, because I kind of looked at this and wondered the way that the form was, exactly kind of what their intent was. Thank you.
It's kind of muddy, but we don't want to throw it out
because of a technicality.
I don't
want it to get thrown out for some technicality, you know.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Okay. Do we have any other questions on that application or the what they're using the funding for, anything like that? Okay. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 2017-24?
I'd make that motion.
Okay. Is there support? Okay. Motion has been made and supported to approve Resolution 2017-14, which is the Mount Holiday. 2017-24, which is the Mount Holiday Nonprofit Ski and Recreation Area application for the Grand Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians application for a tribal council allocation of 2% of funds. Does anyone have any further discussion? Any questions? Okay. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? By no. Okay, that motion passes, and then I'll be getting with John and get the documents to him. Is that right? Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Good luck with everything. Okay. Yeah, I was looking at that too, and I thought, gosh, I don't want anything to.
I don't want it to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Move on to agenda item number 4, Easttown PUD extension. Rick, do you want to address the PUD extension? We had some confusion on the dates. And let's see, Bill is here as well.
Right. Yep. At the October 9th meeting, there was a question raised about the applicant's timeliness for reapplying for their extensions for the Easttown PUD. Staff went back and did some research on that and provided in our staff report the dates that they submitted those applications from the and when they were approved originally back on December 11th of 2008. We also sought input from the township attorney regarding the question that had come up, and the township attorney felt that the applicant had been had applied appropriately in terms of the timetables because it should be based on the original approval date of December 11, 2008. So when they submitted their request this year, they were far more than 60 days in advance. So we've provided you with the background information. The applicant is required to show to or demonstrate to the board that the conditions that caused the delay in them actually proceeding with the project to this point were reasonably beyond the control of them. The other three conditions are pretty already much addressed, as the zoning really hasn't changed out there at all. The situation related to the special land use permit has not really changed, and that there hasn't been any significant change in state, federal, or county law to impact it or ordinances to impact it. So it's mainly them demonstrating that you know, there were things beyond their control that caused them to delay the project another year. This would be the last extension that they are able to get based on our ordinances. And that's all I have for right now.
So. Okay. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We will... Bill, did you want to add anything, or you've looked at this, you're fine. Okay. We'll bring that back to the board. Is there discussion on this request or a motion on the request?
I'll make a motion to approve the final extension for East Towns PUD for an extension of 1 year based upon staff's recommendation.
Okay. Is there support?
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and duly supported. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no?
No.
Okay. Motion passes, noting Lyle's objection. Okay. We will move on to the next agenda item, which is Meadowlands and Photo Dawn. We have Mandy Peterson here from Photo Dawn, Don Bash, and Gene DeRenzi is here as well. Gene, do you want to come up over here, please? This is related to a industrial development district. I'll have Gene pretty much go over it with you, but this is in the Meadowlands area, and this was previously designated as an industrial development district, but time had kind of run out on that, and we're looking at doing this again. Go ahead.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Jean DeRenzi, and I worked with Don Bosch and Photodon to look at new investment that's coming into East Bay Township. They were originally in East Bay Township, grew, and leased a facility in Garfield Township, moving back into East Bay Township, into the Meadowlands. And they're looking at improving, purchasing the land, and also building a new building and adding new jobs for about $1 million of new investment. When we looked at the Meadowland Park, we really looked at the infrastructure that is there and new investment that is needed at that park, and looking at the industrial tax credit. I met with Beth and also Tracy to look at the best approach, and a scoring sheet on how to move this project forward, encourage more private investment, particularly in this industrial park that's in East Bay Township. Jim Schmuckel from Meadowland Properties LLC made the application, and he owns, the LLC owns about 6 lots in the Meadowland District, and you'll see the application that's in your packet. And my recommendation is that we put the industrial district on those 6 lots. That doesn't automatically mean that you get the industrial tax credit. Every business would have to come in and ask for that, and the township would vet that through for approval, and it's individually approved. So even though you have that industrial district, you'll have it there, and then the businesses will come in to apply. So there's 2-step process that we're recommending, is that you set up a public hearing to establish the district on the 6 lots within the Meadowland Park, and then at the public hearing also consider the application from Photodon and look at their private investments, the new jobs they're creating. And at that time, we'll make a recommendation on the years. Right now, the years looks between 3 and 6 years for an abatement. It's not a huge abatement for Photodon, but it reduces the risk that they're making to expand in Garfield and, I'm sorry, in East Bay and make that investment and create the jobs. So that's an overview. I have the map that's there that shows the businesses that are in the park currently. So if you have any questions, Don is here as well as Jim. As the original, right, Jim? Jim, the applicant for the industrial district, and then Don, the applicant for the new business investment.
Yep, I'm sorry, I didn't mention it first. Jim Smuckel is here as well from the Meadowland. So appreciate all of you being in attendance here. I think we can bring this back for the board for discussion if that's okay, unless either of you would like to say anything else at this point. Okay. We'll bring that back to the board for discussion. I just wanted to point out a couple things I had noticed real quick in looking at this. It does mention that Photodon currently has 10 employees, and with the expansion, we'll be looking at 15 employees, and that their investment that they're anticipating is just over $1 million. They're going from, again, a 2,000 square foot facility to just over a 10,000 square foot facility in Meadowland Industrial Park. Again, what we're being asked to do today, just for clarification, is just to set a public hearing for December for the establishment of the Industrial Development District in Meadowland. Glenn, go ahead.
I guess, number one, I guess I was kind of shocked. I thought we'd already done the industrial park down there back in 08 or whatever when we did all of them.
We did, but when I looked it up, the dates, and it had a 12-year expiration date.
For setting up the park?
Was it 12 years?
No, the 12 years would have been for the individuals. I thought the park was, once you set them up, they were set up. And I thought we had did Business Park, Meadowlands, Lean Screw, all of them. The first one we did, I think, was Lead Screw, and then when we went to Business Park, I thought, and I could be mistaken, I thought we set Meadowland up at the same time.
Yeah, in the Peninsula Business Park, you set up individual parcels, so there's only, the industrial district was very small. So Electro-Optics has it because it was, there was enough lead time to be able to give them, but the district itself expires.
Okay.
So Meadowland did expire.
Okay. And the other question, I guess, is probably for you. Can we only do the vacant lots? We can't do the whole Meadowlands that create the industrial district if they're built on?
If they're already built on and have the investment on there, no, you would not want to put it on those areas. Because
the question is, if they wanted to go back and buy new equipment and come in for abatement on it, we couldn't give it to them because they're already built?
It has to be for prior to initiating the project, and it has to be for manufacturers to enable renovation and expansion of aging facilities, assisting in the building of new facilities, and to promote high-tech facilities.
So if they buy equipment, when it comes, I think that's an assessor, is how much value is there for personal property for an industrial tax credit now. So if they added to their business, Glenn, possibly.
My thought was if we're going to do it, do the whole park if we can do it, if that's what the board agrees to, so we don't have to have somebody coming back that wants to do an addition and then have to go through the whole process again. We lay it out there and it covers the whole thing. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
I think what you're remembering, we've done some abatements for the equipment that's been purchased at existing buildings already. Like lead screw was one of them. I think Optitech. I think they also had one as well. So I'm assuming this is a little bit different product than what we previously were able to do.
I'm wondering, was that under the same public act?
That I don't know.
Well, I just, you know, I don't have a problem doing it. I just would rather see us do the whole thing if we can, and that way somebody doesn't have to come back in and go through this process. Create the whole district being the whole border of the meadowlands themselves.
You can do that. That's the township board's prerogative because you can come in. I mean, the businesses would have to come in if they wanted to expand. But remember, there's a timeline on there, too. So, however, if you think who knows what the businesses will do there. So
like, for instance,
there's no harm in it.
Came in, they're already established already there, but they wanted to get in a new technology or whatever. They could come in, if we include the whole park, they could come in and apply for an abatement if they meet all those requirements.
If they meet the requirements and they wouldn't have to expand the district.
Right. I think that's what he's
saying. Yeah, I don't want to hold up this process. Can the board take, rather than picking the individual lots, just create the whole industrial, Meadowland Industrial Park?
Can. I mean, the notice to all of, the notice will be going to all of the businesses that are in the ownership that are there.
Yeah, but that won't hold up the process here for these folks.
No.
Okay.
What was the distinguishing factor in the lots that you had were just vacant lots, correct?
They were just vacant lots.
Okay.
Jim has something he'd like to say.
Sure, Jim. How are you? Mindy. Come on up to the podium.
We gotta hear your voice on TV.
Smile pretty for the camera, Jim.
Jim Schmuckel, co-owner of Meadowlands Industrial Park, and we finally got some new life back there. It's been curtains for about 7 years. 30 days, every mortgage payment's come along, so it's been a long time. So anyway, the main thing I want to support, the first one, support Glenn's position. That's the way I think it should be, because that encourages making the marketeer, and makes it easier for me to talk to industrial businesses to want to come and say, hey, we've got approval already, now all you do need to do is come and get your business approved. So it just expedites things. Plus, it gives us a positive to pitch. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, so do we have a motion to set the public hearing for December 11th, 2017, regarding the establishment of the Meadowland Industrial Park as an industrial development district and to notify the property owners in the district?
I'd make that motion.
Is there support for that?
Support.
Okay. Motion has been made and supported. Any further questions?
So that we are not duplicating the efforts, our office will be sending out the notice to all the property owners. Or, Jean, is that what your office is doing?
I would say, Suzanne, if you can do that, that would be, I think it should come from the township.
Okay. I expected so, too, but I didn't want us both
appreciate that.
Doing that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any further comment?
Do we need to have a motion to put a public hearing for the photodon tax abatement as well?
Mm-mm. Okay. That doesn't have a public hearing to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. So, motion has been made and supported. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay, that motion passes, and we'll have a public hearing to establish Meadowlands as an industrial development district next month, and we'll be considering the tax abatement request of Photodon. So thank you very much for your interest and for being here tonight. Appreciate that. We'll move on to agenda item number 6, which is accessory buildings. Rick and Leslie, would you like to take it away and go over this? And then, of course, Mindy is our Planning Commission liaison, if she has anything to add after that.
Hi. Zoning Amendment 6-17 was a zoning amendment that came to us originally as a request from two different property owners in the community. Almost on back-to-back days, which was kind of interesting. The first one came to us because they own a 14-acre parcel of land and wanted to be able to put an accessory building on that parcel and store some of their equipment there instead of having to transport their lawn equipment or snow clearing equipment or whatever it may be back and forth from their home. The second one was a property owner owns a small parcel down on one of the lakes, and they leave out all their kind of summer play things on the parcel, even though they don't have a home, and they thought it might be nice to put up a small 100-square-foot shed to store those summer play things so that's less of an eyesore on their property. So we brought that before the Planning Commission. We talked with the Planning Commission about it. Staff has some concerns about it that you are articulated, I believe, some here in the reports that you have, as well as from the assessing department. But the Planning Commission decided to go ahead and proceed with a public hearing. We've drafted out a draft ordinance that you have here for you, and then we discussed various options, and eventually the Planning Commission settled on a recommendation. The recommendation essentially is on parcels 10 acres or larger, you can have up to a 1,200-square-foot shed storage building, what have you, on that parcel to store materials that you may be, or equipment that you may wish to there. On a small parcel on the lake, you can have up to 100-square-foot storage building on an undeveloped parcel, so you can keep your toys and other lakeside amenity items in there. So that was recommended for approval back on September 5th. We brought it to you tonight. For consideration, we sent it to the county. The county planning director reviewed the ordinance, provided a few comments, and also provided some comparisons with other communities in the county on what they do regarding accessory structures without a principal structure. Currently in East Bay Township, we do not allow that, except for bona fide agricultural activities. If somebody's got a farm and they have a barn there to store their tractor or their plow or what have you, that is allowed if it's for a bona fide agriculture activity. It's currently not allowed for somebody just to put a shed on a parcel and start storing things there. Part of the concern from staff's viewpoint, because we've had prior cases and Leslie could enumerate them better than me, those have a tendency to develop mission creep. And by mission creep, I mean they develop into something other than just a storage building. And eventually some of them end up being businesses. And not necessarily going through all the permits and doing so. So that's a concern on our part. It's a similar concern that assessing has because they have seen the same thing happen as well. But the Planning Commission felt that the risks were minimal in that regard and decided that they would go ahead and recommend this to the Township Board. And then I'm going to turn it over to Leslie so she can maybe enumerate anything she would like to as well. But you have some language for you to look at this evening. You have a draft ordinance as well as a memorandum and all the related paperwork for that.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Leslie?
I don't have much to add. A number of years ago, we allowed people to build accessory buildings without a home on it. And now we have a couple of spots for one, that one on 4 Mile where the guy has the storage and everything. And now it's a lot of times people will rent out the story space. A lot of times they'll have an industrial use in there. Sometimes they even build living spaces inside them. And that's what we were worried about, as well as assessing was worried about that also.
Okay, thank you. Mindy, did you have anything to add?
This topic went back and forth for months. It wasn't as bad as short-term rentals, but it did go back and forth for months. There are some planning commissioners that believe that, you know, a large structure for your tractor needs, you know, makes sense on a 10-plus acre parcel, you know, to keep it looking nice and that kind of thing. There was lots of discussion about the 100-square-foot shed on a lakefront property and, you know, making, because they don't have to be permitted if they're under 100 square feet, you know, how are we going to regulate this and all that good stuff, and the 50-foot from any lake, lake in the lakes area and all that good stuff. There were two people that brought this. One of them is here tonight that really wants this. He has a property on Vanderlip that backs up to the golf course, and I believe, and he really wants to make it look nice and wants to keep his tractor in the property. And you talk to Louie, and you know, Louie said, yeah, you can't put a tractor and your accessories in a 400 square foot structure. I personally think that this structure is too large with what our zoning says, but I am only one of seven, and I was overruled. So here we are tonight, but there was lots and lots of discussion about the size of it, and when we had our public hearing, there really was not much comment on it.
Okay, thank you very much. With that, are there any questions for Rick or Leslie in particular from the board?
You talked a little bit about how you're going to keep track of whether they're using it inappropriately. Did Planning Commission come up with anything?
No.
Basically, yeah. Code enforcement, word of mouth, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Glenn, go ahead.
I guess, if somebody had a large structure on a vacant lot, 10 acres or more, can they run a business out of it?
No, it depends on where it is.
And it depends on the zoning.
If it's in a residential neighborhood, no.
Okay, but I'm talking about on 10 acres more, let's say it's ag. Can they run a business that maybe has nothing to do with right to farm?
No.
Out of the, how will that be regulated? Just have to wait till
until it becomes a violation, or we learn about it.
And okay.
We might see it, the assessing might see a DVA in the the business journal or something like that, or get a wind of it some other way.
Okay.
Is it possible? And I didn't think about this before I had asked assessing. Is it possible that if we have those, that assessing go back every year and look at them? Because I know that in Susan's memo, she, you know, told us that they go back every
5 years.
Within 5 years. But I can't imagine we're going to have a ton of these. Can we make it that they go back and look at those every year to make sure that they're being used indicated to?
You could probably ask them. I don't know about make them, but
well, they work for us, so.
I mean, we can ask. There are certain things that they do go back. They check on an annual basis.
Right,
mm-hmm. Exactly. But I don't know how many there will be or won't be. I mean,
right.
I know I mentioned this to a particular gentleman, and he said if we pass it, he is buying a piece of property the next day and putting up a pole barn on it.
Well, I know that personally, we looked at that until we were able to. Got us the house with a pole barn, so we were lucky.
In response to Trustee Bartlett or Treasurer Bartlett's question, there are instances where people have prohibited township employees or assessors from going on their property, and that can happen. Mm-hmm. And then you can't go back every year and check it very good.
Well, we do have that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
Yep.
But I mean, we can at least make the best effort to curtail the inappropriate use on it. Because I agree. I mean, you know, once it's there, how are you to know what's going on inside it? And you know, it's hard to control that. But I know that there are people that would really like to be able to do that.
Yes, there are. We get the question probably once every couple of weeks.
Well, I know my husband asked it several times. But
well, the gentleman who wants to buy property put it up is my husband.
I know.
One other question I have, and you know, you talk about a 100 foot or smaller building on a lake lot. You know, 100 foot, you're just not going to put much in it. You're really not. Is the Planning Commission looked at expanding that a little bit? Or?
I think they would have preferred nothing or smaller, but that 100 square foot is what they settled on. You know, you can keep things like inner tubes and skis and stuff like
bunk
that.
Bunk beds, other things that you can sleep in.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Further discussion? Is there a motion, or what is the board's pleasure on this?
I'll make a motion to approve Zoning Amendment 6-17 regarding accessory buildings, but I'd also like to add that we look at assessing going back to any of these that are put up yearly, okay, if it's possible.
And I'll make sure that Susan knows that you're the one who suggests
yep,
that.
Yep, I know. She'll love me.
Are you speaking only of the larger ones, not the small ones on the lakes?
Well, the small ones don't get permitted at all, so okay, you're not going to know when they're up. I mean, you have nothing to... Okay. So those are going to have to stay just like any other shed that is too big.
I think that between, if you're really going to pass it, I think that between assessing and zoning, we could go back and forth. We could go and look.
Yeah, because you could set that up as a tickler on mm-hmm. the building program.
And we do include in here that those ones on the lake, if it's a vacant parcel, it is subject to a land use permit.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It's in caps. So it says for lakefront parcels, regardless of size, a maximum of one minor accessory building not exceeding 100 square feet in size may be constructed or placed on the parcel prior to the completion of construction of the principal building subject to a land use permit. So if it's a vacant parcel, they'll have to get a land use permit. We're not going to just allow them to go out there and put it anywhere on the site because of the 50-foot setback for one.
Right.
But they would have to get a land use permit for that.
Okay, let me see if there's support for this motion. The motion was to approve Zoning Amendment 6-17 regarding accessory buildings with assessing revisiting the sites on an annual basis. Is there support for that motion? Okay, that motion dies for lack of support. I guess I'll just note that, and of course I make that comment about the gentleman and my husband in jest, all joking aside, seriously looking at this issue. I guess I pause when an issue is brought to us from the Planning Commission with the planner, the zoning administrator, and the assessor all voicing their, I mean, you're being both being very delicate, but clearly does not have your support in doing this. And it is pretty rare that you see anything come through from the assessor to write a letter stating such. As well, if that weren't enough for me, and you can hear me yourself by saying whether it is enough or not, but I also have a Grand Traverse County Planning Commission review, which, I sat on the Planning Commission for the county for 2 years, they rarely, like I could probably count on one hand in 2 years, how much they make a note of something where they don't, you know, kind of agree with what's being brought to them. And they certainly make some comments with this, with the uncharacteristic nature of this zoning. Again, with the regulations from the other townships and the county as well, and the guidance of the planner, zoning administrator, and assessor, again, gives me pause for this agenda item. So, is there any other motion? Is it the board's pleasure to just let this sit and die for lack of action, or is there an actual move to deny? Either way is fine, but I'm not hearing support or another motion. Actually, I'm hearing crickets. I think we'll just, it dies for lack of action. Okay. Is everybody fine with moving on to agenda item number 7? Okay. We are at agenda item number 7. That is the charter franchise agreement. You'll see on your cover sheet, you'll remember back in May, I had approached you about our involvement with other local jurisdictions and retaining legal counsel so that we all approach charter jointly rather than individually. This has worked really very well. We went out and looked at two different attorneys, gave us qualifications, and we chose one out of Detroit, Mike Watza, and he has been terrific to work with. As you can see, it kind of encapsulates the two biggest changes, which currently we're at 5% of revenues, and we're at 30 cents per subscriber per month. Now, when you look at the change, which is to propose, which is 5% of revenue, so the franchise fees stay the same. It is a 10-year renewal. The major difference there is in the peg fee. Instead of being a static 30 cents, of course, 30 cents is different today versus 10 years from today, and the number of subscribers, as you can see, based on our last 8 to 10 years of backing into that data, shows it's very level, if not slightly diminishing. So for us to transition from a static fee and a declining customer base, or I don't say declining, that sounds rather harsh, but you know what I mean, a stagnant customer base, to a number that is a percentage of revenues which are growing, that's beneficial. Let's see, I did forward you the, you'll give me a second. There we go. So I don't have the changes in the attachment to, but again, I do think that we have the information, and you've seen it all in the emails and the agreements. Of the information that we need to approve the franchise. We need to have this done by the December 1st date. So I am looking for a motion to approve the renegotiated charter franchise agreement with 10-year terms, including the franchise fee of 5% of revenues and the peg fees of 0.475% of revenues, and to author the supervisor to sign the agreement on behalf of the Board of Trustees. That's the motion that I'm seeking. Are there any specific questions regarding the franchise agreement? Go ahead, Glenn.
What does that figure out to the subscribers? The residents are paying 30 cents a month right now. At 0.475%, what would that be to the customer?
Well, if you take a look at, You have a Excel spreadsheet in your packet, and that shows the first two options that they gave us. The first option was a 0.5% every year over 10 years. I'm sorry, a 0.5% for the first 2 years with a 0.35% for years 3 through 10. Option two was a 0.4 for all 10 years. We countered and we ended up settling on the 0.475. So if you look at the 0.475, you can see the difference between this year and next year is about $7,000, and that would be spread across the same number of customers at $3,000. So that's what, roughly $2 a customer, correct? Over a year's time. So every year you can see what that ends up being the difference from the current and the net present value of what we have negotiated ends up being tens of thousands of dollars over a 10-year period.
You're saying it's $2 a year?
Well, what I'm saying is it's $18,000 estimated in the first year, and it's $11,000 in this year. So, Glenn, take about, I don't even think it's $7,000. It's about $6,500. Divide that by 3177. That's your customer.
$6,500?
Mm-hmm. Divided by 3177.
Okay, $2.04.
So that would be $2.04, and that is on an annual rate.
A year, not we're paying 30 cents now, right? So we pay $3.60 now, and we're going to take it down to $2.04?
No, Glenn. You have to add $2.04 over the year. That's above and beyond.
You're going to increase $2.04.
Okay.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I was thinking. Yep. So not a month, because you're not going from 30 cents to $2 over a year's time.
No, you're going up to about 17 cents a month. Is that what it figures out to, roughly?
Well, take $2.04 and divide that by 12.
I guess I'm the only one with a calculator.
Well, I don't know. I have Excel spreadsheet, but I don't have it up and running right now.
Yeah, 17 cents. So it's going from 30 cents to 47 cents a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So what was sent to you, let's see, where is that? The email, is, you'll see it has a note, email outlining final documents and process. So it says right there, PEG Communities. We'll get the attachment one, sign that. The agreements, which you have, you'll note I filled in exactly where he said, and I'll highlighted it so you could see it. I have a clean copy, obviously. And then we'll end up mailing that to Charter with copy to council. What is the board's pleasure regarding the upcoming franchise agreement?
Another question before we go in. On the 0.475%, Charter wanted that, or we wanted that?
Well, let's see. In the past agreement, there was 0.3 for 10 years, and at a certain point, we could go to 0.35, but we did not. So then this year, 10 years later, when we renegotiated this, again, 30 cents now is vastly different than 30 cents 10 years ago. So our first... I don't know that we approached them with specific numbers. Their two options that they gave us are outlined right there in the Excel spreadsheet for you.
Okay.
Now, from these options, we did decide that option, we met as a group and decided that option number two was obviously the most beneficial, which you can see. I mean, given the interest rates, you're better off to have a larger number consistently over 10 years than you are to have a larger number for 2 years and then a smaller number for 3 years, for years 3 through 10. So knowing that we were going with option two, knowing that we would prefer option two over one, but that was at the point four, council went back and negotiated that 0.475%.
So I don't, I'm in the black zone. I can't get charter. So I don't necessarily know what a bill looks like. It says that right now on there, does it say that 30 cents per month is going to the jurisdiction, or how does it state that?
It does. Well, originally, when I started here, it said 30 cents in East Bay Township, and then it also had our phone number on it. And probably the first phone call I got as township supervisor was literally somebody cursing me because their channel was out on their internet, on their charter cable. And so I thought, well, what is that about? So it quickly found out that it doesn't have to be on there. They just choose to put it on there. So I wrote a letter to the government relations at Charter and asked them to remove our phone number off of it. As well, many jurisdictions have asked for that to be removed because, quite frankly, cable companies will put that on there to show that as a cost, almost like a tax. That's not the case. It is the cost of their operating and doing business in our right of way. And so, really, it should not be delineated on that bill any more than their benefits for their personnel would be. It is a cost of doing business, and it should be rolled right in there. But they do have it detailed. We did briefly talk about trying to get that removed, but I think that was not something that we thought we were going to be successful at.
Thank you.
Yep. What would the board like to do on the franchise agreement?
I'll make a motion to approve the renegotiated charter franchise agreement with a 10-year term, including the franchise fee of 5% of revenues and PEG fees of 0.475% of revenues, and to authorize the supervisor to sign the agreement on behalf of the Board of Trustees.
Is there support for that? Okay, that motion has been made and supported. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no?
No.
Okay, the motion passes, showing Lyle voting no. And we'll move on to agenda item number 8, the PAR plan grant application. Okay, so what you have in front of you is this past year I took a look at the keys were, you know, there's a form that you sign when you have a key, and I was looking through the files and noticed that over the years there have been keys that are, you know, not returned or missing and so forth, and was thinking about both the North Conference Room area and the South Conference Room area and how really I'd prefer to have that better secured. Right now I have no accountability on some of those areas as far as if there were something damaged or, you know, I don't know that we would necessarily be able to determine who had access to that. We also can't, it's cumbersome for the keys with neighborhood associations and so forth, and when they have a key, returning it, they have it for, you know, actually, I think they keep the key, don't they? Some of the regular ones. Do they return it in the box usually?
Yeah.
Okay. So I asked EPS, which is the company that we use for security, and had another company, two other companies come and give estimates on a keypad access code for both doors, or I'm sorry, three doors, two on this side and one on the north side. And what that would do, as you've seen in the documents, is allow us through a software. So if somebody reserves one of the public meeting spaces, Val can go in and tailor a number to them, give them a code, and say the days that they are able to have access to the township hall. So it would only be valid for that period of time. As well, every board member on all the boards and commissions would have their own individual access number, and those are all audited, just similar, very similar to the township interior offices. We each employee has a code, and weekly they email the code and access, so you can tell who's had access to the township hall. We just don't have that on the outer public areas. Not only do they do the keypad, the latest company, Mardex, also does a key fob for the employees, so that comes and goes and registers the employee access. So if we ever have an issue, which we're very, very fortunate we haven't, we've had some minor forms of vandalism in other areas, Grace McDonald Park, that sort of thing, we'll be able to track where that is. We obviously have a lot of investment in audiovisual equipment, particularly in this room, but now also in the North Conference Room. And, of course, there's kitchens and bathrooms in both areas. So when I was taking a look at it, this actually was on the list of things on the budget for next year. And doing this would really limit any potential property loss. And so I thought it would be maybe a good project for the PAR plan. So just sat down and kind of put pen to paper with their guidelines. The application is what you have in front of you tonight, and that goes through literally 1 through 15 are specific questions that they ask for you to provide. I've included the enclosures. Assessing did a nice schematic for me, and then, of course, the estimates are there, and then our previous grants from 2013, which we were awarded through the PAR plan. And then there's a resolution, which would be 2017-26, to put in for that. And what I've done is a 50% match. So Mardex is distinctly less expensive than EPS. They have done some work for us at Grace McDonald Park when we had some damage with the cameras from lightning and from somebody hitting the utility, the pole.
Into it?
Mm-hmm. And we had to upgrade because remember we added the bathrooms? Well, there were no cameras that focused around those bathrooms, so we added cameras for that. Mardex came in quite a bit cheaper with that project. They were recommended by two other townships, which is how I even found out about them. They had used them successfully. And when we used them at Grace McDonald, they did a great job at a reasonable price. So they got me a bid, and that's what I based the grant application on. So I'm looking for a motion of support for the resolution 2017-26. And authorization to submit the grant request.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In number 13, it says there's no actual keys. What do you do if there's a power outage?
Number 13 says what?
That there's no actual keys.
Well, there wouldn't be actual keys that people would be using. There would still be a key for the door. Matter of fact, that key would get rekeyed, so all of those existing keys wouldn't work any longer. So there still would be a key.
Hey, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, but most people wouldn't be using a key.
Right.
Yeah.
There would be one or two people that could get in the building if there was a power outage or equipment failure. Or
box.
Yeah.
So that emergency services can get in.
Right.
Okay.
This is going to have We have a default feature where if the wrong code is entered after so many times, it alerts the... It puts an unfavorable... They're probably going to call you. I'm just... I didn't know if it had that feature.
You know, I don't know that specific question. I would imagine there is. I didn't think about that option, but there's a number of features with the software, and I believe it is, if I understood him correctly, it is also available through your smartphone. So
that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun getting called at 3 in the morning when someone's trying to get in.
Yeah. Well... 3 in the morning is actually a time that I'm not sure. Well, if someone were messing around with it, yeah.
They've called it that time in the morning before if there's been activity going on.
Glenn?
Yeah, what's the Allen Supply is about quite a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
No, Allen Supply is actually a subcontract within MARDEX. So Al, if you look at it, look at MARDEX's... last item on MARDEX security, it says 1, and it says part sublet, 3 electric doors installed, second page. Yep. So, and that is because of the type of doors that they are. They need an electric circuit to them because they have a pin on the top and the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. Sue?
So I was fine looking at the MARDEX because they do say we're local government and exempt from taxes, mm-hmm. but Allen Supply does have $88.44 in sales tax.
Okay.
We would be exempt from that, too.
That's fine. I can redo that without the...
This is not the kind of system that is going to unlock at a certain time every morning. We have that just installed at the college.
No.
Got some catch-22s to it.
I've known other jurisdictions that do have that, and the people that are in charge can, wherever they are, whatever state they're in, they can unlock it manually as
You can do that. So if somebody calls me and they can't get in, so they put in 2 codes and say Val says, listen, don't put in more than 5 codes or you'll be locked out or whatever. If they put in 4 codes and they have an issue, they can call and you can unlock it from the phone. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I have a question for Glenn. I think the whole phone or the whole key thing is a good idea. Where you sit as a director on the power plan, is this something that has come before? Has it looked favorably at the power plan?
I guess it's all going to boil down to how it's written. Because liability is what we look at. People have come for upgrades and they get turned down because they say it should be maintenance, not a grant. But you're never going to know until you put it in.
Okay.
It doesn't cost anything to put it in.
Right.
And probably a lot depends on how many people are in line for a grant. And that's one of the things, if they've got grants before and people, other ones haven't, if Yeah, okay. That as long as liability is the big thing. If you can show you're removing liability, that's what we're looking at.
Thank you.
So, again, this is the other thing I think that speaks favorably when I was reading through some of the power plan application was a matching portion to it as well. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why I included the 50% match with the township.
And that also looks favorable.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So I make a motion to adopt Resolution 2017-26, which is the resolution of support for the application to the Michigan Township Participating Plan Risk Reduction Grant for the, the Township Hall Access Control, and authorize the Township Supervisor to submit.
Okay. That motion has been made and support, or has been made. Is there
been
support?
Made. Support.
Okay. Motion has been made and supported. Which one?
Walters.
Okay. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay, the motion passes. There's one thing I did forget to mention to you during reports. Just wanted to let you know that Tim Newton has been not at our meetings on Monday nights since September. He has been working on through Oakland Community College and traveling downstate just about once a week at this point. It's a five-month course for an instructor coordinator course. So basically, he becomes certified to teach the continuing education units for EMTs and paramedics. So he's finishing that up. They have about a two-week break over the Thanksgiving holiday, and then I think he said he has three more and should be wrapped up by Christmas time. So anyway, hope he has safe travels and getting there and getting back. And with that, brings us to our second portion of public comment. If there's any member of the public who would like to address the board, they are welcome to. Good evening, sir. If you'd state your name and your address.
Scott Martin Strelecki, 1239 US 31 North. Say, the accessory building thing, if I can I ask the board a question here?
We
typically happen with that?
Typically we don't during public comment, but let me just answer your question quickly. So there was a motion to let me go back on this a second. There was a motion to approve it, but it died for lack of support. So which means that we took no action on it. There was no other motion offered. So
well, does that mean that this can be held without prejudice?
It means that anything to be enacted would have to be approved by the township board. There is no approval at the township board. So the recommendation from the Planning Commission rests unacted upon.
Okay, then I just wish to make a further comment.
Sure, go ahead.
I live in East Bay Township, had several properties here. I don't homestead anything. I don't think it's right that people do homestead. This is the first time, it's alien to me. It's the first time I've ever been denied the use of a piece of land I've purchased. I don't owe nobody anything for this land. I own it, as I do all my assets in this state. But this is the first township that I have been denied the use of my own land. I bought 14 acres of recreational land. That's why the people who were here earlier were talking, we went back and forth and back and forth. Me and my family, we hunt, we fish, and we trap this property. We catch brook trout in my creek. We catch the bluegill out of my pond. We shoot the deer on the land. We trap the bobcat. We do it all. I am not able to provide shelter. I am not even allowed a 10-by-10 rickety shed for shelter for my family and friends that come to this property. I don't understand. As an American, I think everything has just fallen apart, and I'm sorry to see this, but I really don't understand. I'm not in a residential, it's called a residential area, but it's a dirt road with a couple of people that live on it, and they have horses and barns next to me. Vacant golf course that's never, it's the Mitchell Creek watershed. This property should never be developed, but it's set up to be developed. I figured that the easiest way would just be to buy the place up, preserve it. It's going to be in the family forever, but I guess I really don't know what to say. I guess I'm ashamed of myself for not being able to explain why I needed that, why I like this property so much, and why I bought it. I don't see the reason to have to build two houses in this township just to be able to have a place to store my tractor. I can't even, I park my lawnmowers and everything out. Yeah, well, I guess you guys probably do too. You don't need garages either, but I mean, it's not that big a deal, but it's just inconvenient. And I'm sorry I took up so much of your time. It's been a year since I was back with the board that meets on, last week. And I guess I'm just disappointed that I couldn't prove a better point. And I guess I feel privileged to be a landowner in East Bay Township, where I'm not even recognizing that, being denied the use of improvements or even the ability to protect my family on my own land. Obviously, I can put trailers there, whatever. If that's what you guys want, that's what I'll have to do, but it's the only, you know, I was trying to keep the place nice and clean and whatever, but anyway, I'm done. But the other thing is I know I'm going way past the 3-minute time. See, I can put a pole barn there if I like, but I have to become a farmer. Well, I am a farmer. I have farmland on the other side of the state. I have an asset up in the UP that I farm too. I didn't buy this land to farm. So I feel if I put my barn up as a farming operation, I'm making a mockery of farming, because that's not my intent, but that is the only way I have left to go, and it just seems kind of ridiculous. The pole barn would bring an improvement to the property. It would bring extra taxes to the township, and it would show that somebody cares about that East Bay Mitchell Creek watershed area. But beyond that, I don't know what else to think about East Bay Township. I've been here forever, and I just never figured anybody would say no to a place to store your tractor or to mow your lawn. But anyway, thank you for your time and your consideration. And like I say, ashamed I didn't make a better case.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Appreciate you being involved in the process. Let's see. Any other public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we are adjourned if there's no objections. Thank you and have a good evening.